The UN resolution on Israeli settlements and the bottom line. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishour, in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Israel says it's going ahead with thousands of new housing units in East Jerusalem. That's in spite of a UN resolution condemning those settlements as illegal. The resolution passed on Friday after the U.S. abstained from voting or vetoing. The whole affair has stoked anger in Israel and threats of retaliation from Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. But there are also economic implications. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace is here with more on that. Lewis, Palestinian leaders have said this resolution might help them make a financial and commercial case against settlement activity. Can you explain that?
So Israel has decided to give permits to the first 600 of these new homes. And every time more of this settlement activity happens, there's an international reaction. So Palestinians and their supporters have pushed for boycotts of anything manufactured in the settlements. Annie Slemrod is the Middle East editor at Iran News, and she says these boycotts have affected some companies in the past.
SodaStream was a really good example. It was in the West Bank, benefiting from cheaper Palestinian labor.
And just in 2015, the European Union agreed to start labeling products made in Israeli settlements as such rather than just made in Israel. At the same time, foreign investment in Israel is still increasing.
And are the Israeli settlements economically beneficial to Israel or anyone else?
Well, that's actually a complicated question. One group that arguably benefits is actually the settlers themselves, who are often getting nice new housing for cheaper than it would have been in the Israeli part of Jerusalem, for example, where housing prices are high. Annie Slemrod says if you go to one of the big settlements, also all the major real estate companies are going to be advertising there.
You know, there's a lot of money to be made there. That's clear.
But she says the largest economic consequences overall are on Palestinians, who are limited in terms of work and freedom of movement in ways that the Israeli settlers are not.
All right. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace. Thank you. Hundreds of thousands of police officers in the U.S. put in millions of hours every year moonlighting, as in working private, off-duty security jobs. This, according to a recent survey from the University of South Carolina. But these part-time jobs can complicate what it means to be a full-time public servant, as Jimmy Jenkins from KJZZ reports.
At the Marquee Theater in Tempe, Arizona, Sergeant Steve Carbajal looks on as people go through security before a concert.
People come and have a good time. It's a smaller venue. It's a different vibe, some kind of like not your necessarily always mainstream bands, you know?
Carbajal is moonlighting, working off-duty security to supplement his day job as an officer with the Tempe Police Department. He makes $60 an hour, and he says it's a pretty easygoing crowd. He got the job through an off-duty coordinator at his department.
Here's the jobs. So for Monday, there's three jobs posted here.
Sergeant Josie Montenegro says the off-duty work is so popular that the department doles out the jobs with a lottery system. It's like a bonus or an added incentive for officers.
Especially if they have a young family or, you know, they want to buy a house.
Regardless of what they use the money for, a lot of cops take advantage of the chance for extra income.
As many as 300,000 officers may be putting in more than 43 million hours working for private employers every year.
University of South Carolina legal scholar Seth Stoughton recently completed a survey of off-duty police work. He says moonlighting poses questions about cops using public resources for private gain.
You have someone who was hired and trained and equipped with taxpayer dollars.
Stoughton also found significant variations in policy across the country. For instance, the Orange County Sheriff's Department in California does not allow its officers to work off-duty security. Lieutenant Mark Stichter says their policy prevents internal conflict.
The lines would be gray between are you acting in your responsibility and your role as a full-time law enforcement officer or as a security officer of a, you know, private interest.
But Stoughton found the majority of departments allow moonlighting.
It raises a pretty fundamental question about what policing is. Is it public? Is it private? Or is it some mix of the two?
He says for many officers, the answer depends on what day it is and who's paying. In Phoenix, I'm Jimmy Jenkins for Marketplace.
Now, if politics is really about apportioning resources, that is to say, who gets the money, there's a lot of change coming this next year. Help us explain, explore, and elucidate these stories as only my crew here at Marketplace can. I'm here to ask you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Help us keep it coming to you. It would be especially helpful to us if you donate at marketplace.org by December 31st.
The holiday movie season isn't like the rest of the year. It's crowded. Studios big and small roll out their best stuff, hoping for Oscar buzz. This year, this stage is extra crowded and well-funded, which means smaller films may have a particularly tough time getting attention and exposure. Marketplace's Rima Kreis reports.
There are sci-fi dramas like Passengers with Jennifer Lawrence.
We boarded the Avalon with a destination.
Animated family films like Sing with Scarlett Johansson. And it's not like the new Star Wars movie or Disney's Moana are going anywhere.
There are more movies opening this year than I can ever recall.
That's Ann Thompson with IndieWire, a movie industry site. In the last half of December alone, upwards of 20 new releases hit theaters, and more than the usual few are blockbuster types.
Studios are banking on big-budget tentpole movies. It's where they spend a lot to make them and they spend a lot to sell them.
That's going to make for some fierce competition at the multiplex, says Paul Dergarabedian, a media analyst at ComScore.
You know, these smaller films and the big films all have to battle for a limited amount of screen space.
But small movies have an advantage. They don't depend on huge audiences. They can catch on slowly through word of mouth and strong reviews. I'm Rima Kreis for Marketplace.
And on the subject of the movies, Disney's Rogue One is not letting go of its top spot at the box office, bringing in $96 million over the long weekend. The force is strong with that one. And with movies in general, 2016 box office sales are projected to reach a record $11.3 billion. That is a lot of people wanting to escape 2016 right there is what that is. In New York, I'm Sabri Benashour with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.